I am Confucius Jones, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast, where you'll be hearing highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX. Me and my co-hosts were both born and raised here in Austin, Texas, and want to spread the word about Austin's burgeoning hip-hop and R&B scenes. We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. Be anywhere but you ain't.
You are rocking with Austin's number one hip-hop and R&B show, The Breaks. I'm Fresh.
I am Confucius.
And it is a jam-packed night. It is also the last show of 2019 for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're not doing a 2019 wrap-up, so don't ask.
We're just not.
You know, I don't think we did one last year.
We didn't. I was about to ask you, we do a 2019 wrap-up? Because I'm not prepared.
Nah, me either.
So, Elliot Wilson and B-Dot of Rap Radar have a podcast. Rap Radar was originally, and still is, a blog site, music blog, hip-hop blog site. And so, on their podcast, they interview a wide variety of guests. Last year, their big guest was Will Smith. Year before last, it was Jay-Z. And this year, they got Drake to do an interview.
Which is big because Drake rarely talks unless it's with Zane Lowe for some reason.
Yeah, I don't watch Zane Lowe interviews. And yes, they secured the Drake interview. They went to Toronto to Drake's newly constructed mansion.
Compound.
Yeah, and interviewed him. A wide variety of topics were discussed. Did you finish the interview?
I did. I finished all 2 hours.
I think I got through all of it except for like the last 20 minutes. So I assume I'd say I watched all of it. I liked the interview. B-Dot and Elliot Wilson asked a lot of good questions. Of course, a lot of people felt like, well, at least people I saw said that they should have pushed back on a lot. But once you're inside a man's house, there's only so much you can say. You're not going to be like, hey, man, you know.
That's not really B-Dot and Elliot. Like, they don't really push back against a question. Even if it's something they really want to know, they don't really push back.
What was your favorite topic that they touched on?
Outside of the obvious.
Which we're going to get to.
Outside of the obvious, I think him speaking on Jay. And like him going,
I'm down here too.
Yeah, him speaking on there back and forth and all of that.
Which we knew about, and nobody confirmed it.
And until now. Until now. And he was like, him and Jay had a conversation, and you know, it was really, really him like a rebellious child, like letting you know, hey, I'm down here. I'm here, and I'm not going nowhere either.
Yeah. My favorite one was how he explained his album making process and how, he responded to the accusation of cultural appropriation, because he made a good point. He was saying, like, you know, when I, you know, take these different genres of music, I take somebody from that genre with me. Like, I'm not just taking and be like, oh, this music sounds like this, but I didn't get that from that. Like, unless,
and yes, sorry, he broke Afrobeats through here in the States, because I didn't know what Afrobeats was until One Dance. Yeah. Or who Wizkid was.
And he put Wizkid on the song. He did sign Popcorn.
And I only say that because I heard all of the internet try to go off and explain, well, he only had Wizkid whisper a few lines on the song, and nobody who really listens to Afrobeat or is from that really considered that an Afrobeat song. No, y'all don't. And they always reverted it back to, if you really from the islands or if you got a connection or people from Africa, then you don't consider that. No, that's y'all. But it's tons of other people whose parents are Nigerian, parents aren't from Ethiopia or Eritrea or anywhere or any other country on the continent of Africa, and people who aren't from the island. So when they heard Drake do One Dance, that was Afrobeats to him. And when he did One Dance, the entire industry started doing Afrobeats.
Yeah.
It was a thing to like have an Afrobeat song.
He did a lot of stuff in the interview. He explained, I agree with him on. I know it's kind of cool to not like Drake now because it's just cool not to like the guy. Because
he's
top.
An algorithm.
Yeah, whatever. But I really appreciate the interview. He was, you know, he was very candid about a lot of things. Of course, the main thing that people keep going to is his when they brought up the conversation between his issue with him and Pusha T. Drake said that, you know, basically the same. To be honest, he just expanded on what he said on the Uninterrupted show with LeBron James in the barbershop about the Pusha T
shot. Yeah.
Where he felt like Pusha went too far, and Pusha's not somebody he's interested in ever, you know, reconciling or being cool with. A lot of people jumped on Drake for him trying to say that, you know, Pusha didn't outbar me to death, or, you know, I don't think he really, a lot of stuff he said there was lies, and all he did was reveal my child.
It sounded scared to me.
But once again, I buy Drake's explanation. My thing with nobody, out of all the mess people talked about what he said about Pusha, nobody, not one person said, well, he did admit he lost. Like, if the man admitted he lost, what else can he say at that point? he had compared it to like being, you know, like being a boxer or being a fighter. You can win as many as you want, but if at some point in time somebody's gonna pop you in the mouth, and he admitted Pusha popped him in the mouth. And he also admitted that there's not a song that he could have made to respond to Pusha that would have been bigger than Drake Has a Child that nobody knew about. Nobody's beating that. Drake's strategy for beefing has been the same, because I thought about it. Drake will do, if somebody says something about him, or he thinks somebody's throwing a shot at him, he'll try to throw out a little soft jabs to try to test and see what they're really about. He said he did that with me.
He admitted that that's what charged up was with me, which we all knew.
He did the same thing on Stay Scheming. He threw a little jab at Common to see if Common was going to try to respond back, and Common famously did whatever he could. He threw a little jabs at Jay. He threw little jabs at Diddy. Like, that's what he throws jabs to see, like, okay, to kind of test your strength and your arm length and all that. But with Pusha, the mistake he made with Pusha, like we said before, is that he didn't realize Pusha's been waiting for him for years.
Yeah, Pusha's been, like, putting...
Pusha's been jabbing Drake for years.
While watching it, I told myself, Pusha has been sitting at the dock of a river with a tackle box and putting worms on a hook and casting his line for the last decade, waiting for one of y'all to respond. And Wayne responded. It just was horrible. After that, he realized, I'm not really worried about Wayne, so let me go with the next top dog.
I will say both of them have the worst excuses for why they're beefing. Like, pushing this whole thing, like, he went after the team. You were throwing shots at Drake before you even signed with Kanye.
Throwing shots at that entire camp before
anybody that got close to Birdman, pushing with throwing shots at.
If you've ever heard, what is it, Hell Hath No Fury?
Oh, yeah. Anybody that was close to Birdman.
Entire album was about Cash Money.
I'm pretty sure there's a song that we threw shots at Nicki. But Pusha, like I said, Pusha needs to be real and just be like, hey, man, he was just the top dog, and I just want to take him down. That's like, once again, it's like boxing. Like, he has the belt. I want to go for the belt. And just like in boxing, you won. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. And Drake needs to admit, like, hey, man, like, he kind of did. Like, I feel, I just didn't see it coming. Like, I thought I could treat him like I did Meek, and it was not Meek. Like, Pusha had been waiting for me.
He was prepared. Stitches on a baby's involved. It's deeper than rap. We
talking character. Let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child. Let that boy come home. Speaking of new music, OT Genesis put out a new song, which is his interpretation of Love by Keisha Cole.
Yes, yeah. We got a lot of catching up to do, man.
Yeah, we have a lot. as much as we can in. So, social media being social media, he put out his version of it, just being probably drunk and singing it. And then he decided to make a video for it. Once again, it's like a humorous interpretation of Love by Keisha Cole. Apparently, Keisha Cole wasn't happy about that, though.
She was not happy at all.
She was like, you know, she says, many of people have, you know, sung my songs or sang them to me, but nobody's ever gone as far as to change the lyrics.
Parody it.
Yeah, parody, exactly. A parody of the song. And so, OT Genesis... the video that he shot for the song ended up getting taken down. And OT Genesis, being the troll that he is, put it on Pornhub.
let me see you come take this down.
Exactly. Since then, he's been trolling her on Instagram, you know, putting up, like, he put, like, a picture of his face cut in half and her face on the other side, saying, like, makes me know they have a collab coming, which we know is not happening.
Yeah, he had an Instagram video with her song, I Should Have Cheated, in the background with him, like...
Looking out the window.
He apparently was at a Christmas party out in L.A., and it was a ugly Christmas sweater party, and he had a Christmas sweater with... Keisha Cole screen printed, I think an album cover, one of her album covers screen printed onto the sweater saying Merry Christmas. And he sung the song at the Christmas party and had everybody at the Christmas party singing the song.
So let's say I'm OT Genesis and you're Keisha Cole. Do you agree with how she feels? How would you feel if I redid one of your songs? You didn't get any money from it. You just, me being funny.
I don't know if I'm her and I have my mind, I don't know if I would be mad at it. Like,
you'd be mad. You're prideful. Don't do that. I know you.
I probably would. Cause
let somebody else in the city pop it with a site called Fresh Prince of the ATX 2. And you'd be like,
they
what?
Getting sued.
Like, what?
You getting that legal paperwork. But, I probably would be mad. Cause like we were saying off, earlier in the night, off mic, people, like, that's one of her biggest hits. And then now you come and you parody it. So now... And the parody hit and video has like really grown and people are really running with it. So now when people hear this song, now they think of OT Genesis singing about being a Crip. So like, yeah, I'd be mad, bro. Even though you wasn't making no money off of it, but like, you kind of ruined my hit. Kind of ruined my hit song, bro.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, His song would never be as big as Keisha Cole's. Keisha Cole's song was a monster. Like, that was, I think,
one of my
biggest
favorite Keisha Cole songs.
Yeah, that's one of her biggest songs. Like, she's gonna have to perform that song until the day she dies. There's a good chance that the OT Genesis version is not gonna make it to next year. I mean, this time next year.
Probably not.
And he knows that. I just think for her, it's just, once again, it's a respect thing. Like, I've never had a conversation with this man. I didn't know he was doing this. Like, that, and I think that's where her her feelings from it come from. And I don't think it's so much about the money, because I highly doubt she owns all 100% of that song.
I highly doubt that as well.
Considering that was her first album. Most artists don't even own the music on their first album. But I just think it's just respecting. Like, she's like, I don't know who this guy is. You know.
I think it's that, like, we've never had a conversation. I didn't know he was doing this. Then he come out of nowhere, you know, and he parodies my hit record.
Yeah, so I think that's what. Now, that's understandable. Once again, if somebody popped up with a website similar to yours and you don't know who they are, you'd be like, what?
Even if I know who they are, you're still getting paperwork. What are you doing, bro?
I told you this wasn't cool. So, I mean, I get where she's coming from on it, but yeah.
I'm not mad at her.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first guest, only guest of the night.
We got more than one.
Just shaking the rust off, Flyboy Kane in the building. Say hello to the people, Flyboy.
Flyboy Kane, A-Town's finest. Underdog of the South, man. I'm in here.
All right, let's go ahead and get this interview thing started. So tell the people, you know, who you are, what you're about, and, you know, just everything, just all the generic stuff.
Yeah, we get that out the way first.
Local artist out of Austin, Texas. I've been doing this thing for about 10 plus years, man. I'm dropping a lot of music on YouTube. I'm streaming everywhere. Work with a lot of artists down here in Austin and a lot of different artists everywhere, man. But, you know, this is another local artist trying to get it.
So you're a native, like born and raised, born in...
Negative. Nah, I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, that's okay. What's up. Shout out Detroit. Detroit.
So, like, my family's up there. So, but I've been here since, like, my dad brought me down here when I was, like, 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah. Oh, man, you from here? Come on, yeah, you from here, bro? I thought you were about to say I got here 5 years. Hey, come on, man.
I thought you were gonna say where I'm born at. My mom's still there. You know what I'm saying? My family's still there. So
I feel that. I thought you were gonna say, like, I got down here like at 8 years old, like 18. 8 months. Nah, you from here, bro? I'm from here.
But you said born and raised.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel. I made the distinction.
I was so right.
Certificate.
Facts. So, what inspired you to do music? Like, you know, because music is one of those things where, you know, it's very crowded to be in music, but, you know, you have to have a certain confidence to want to continue it. So what made you want to be a musician?
I just fell in love with hip hop, man. You know, ever since, you know, my cousins and stuff, listening to them, you know, listening to their music, and I'm not supposed to listen to it hiding their way in the car and in the attic, you know what I'm saying, becoming a fan. And, you know what I'm saying, my cousin that passed away, he started writing for me at first. And then I was like, nah, man, I wanna do this on my own. So I started writing a little bit, and we had a little group or whatever. So just ever since then, man, it's just been a passion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What keeps that passion? Because, like he said, music can be a very crowded industry.
Yeah, everybody doing music.
You're right. And, like, and it seems like everybody wants to rap. And so, like, what keeps you pushing it? What keeps you having the feeling that, like, nah, I'm going to keep doing this? Because I know at times for independent artists, like, it can get very discouraging.
Yeah, very, man. Like, I had many times I wanted to quit, but the thing that just keeps me going, man, is just hearing the new music that's coming out and just being able to be like, man, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? I can do something better than that. You know what I'm saying? And just stand in my own lane, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's really doing music like I'm doing it and how versatile I'm coming with it. So it's just, you know, if anything, at the end of the day, if, like, even if I don't make it, but I know I am, I just love doing music. I love writing and putting you know, music together and working with other artists and things like that. So it's just more of a, like, just a passion or a hobby than anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the most important thing, just the passion side of it.
So, Mr. Kane,
yeah,
what do you think about the current state of the Austin music scene?
I think it's bubbling, man. I think it's at its best time right now, and I've been on it for a minute, so I think it's really really looking good. There's a lot of hot artists out here, so I think it's really bubbling. You know what I'm saying? We're really knocking on the door right now.
So what is what's up next for Flyboy Kane? Like, what do you have going on? What is, like, you know, shows, music?
2020, man. I got a show coming up in January with the homeboy Jay Soldier. He doing like a little
The battle rap.
Yeah, the smoke out.
The smoke out battle rap. Yeah.
Battle thing. That's you know dope. What I'm saying? So a lot of people was hyping it up on social media, but you know, when it came out to the brackets, a lot of people came up missing. So I was like,
I saw that. I said, nobody really signed up for it like they said they were.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, you know, hats off to the people that did sign up, but it was like, I never heard of any of them cats. So, but I mean, that's good though. So, but what's next up for me, man? Other than that, I got another single I'm gonna drop next month called The Goat Cypher. I got two special guests on there. I ain't gonna put it out there right now, but just that, man. I'm gonna drop a visual to that. I'm looking at doing a visual for Won't He Do It, and just keep dropping singles, man, and just making a presence online and getting my followers up and things like that. Doing more visuals, so just keep my foot in the neck.
That's the way to do it. So go ahead and give the people your socials and ways to get in contact with y'all, that good stuff.
Well, I mean, it's definitely Flyboy Kane 512 on everything, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you want to look at, you know, just put in Flyboy Kane 512, and I'm there.
All right. Google them.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out, man. We'll definitely look forward to you. Make sure you send a new single to us as well.
Right, yeah, right.
We'll all definitely support.
I came and I heard nobody.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our second segment of the night with Mr. Fresh himself, Unpopular Opinion.
Let's go. I've been kind of holding this one in the tuck for, you know, a while now. So it's the end of the year. New Year's Eve is this coming Tuesday. So a lot of people are reflecting on the year, the decade at this point. So my unpopular opinion tonight will be about something that has kind of been the talk of the last, I want to say, 3 years, industry plans, a term that I have grown to loathe. What is an industry plan? I don't know, because every time I ask somebody, I get several different definitions.
Chance the Rapper.
Or I get that's an answer. They give me somebody, but not explain how Chance the Rapper is an industry plan. Or they tell me,
I can explain it.
Or they tell me Lizzo, but they don't say,
not Lizzo, not
but they don't say how they think Lizzo is an industry plant. Or like I said, nobody gives me a definitive definition of what an industry plant is. So my unpopular opinion is they don't exist, because I saw somebody say an industry plant is somebody who you didn't see the growth. You don't see the growth, and then they pop up, and then they seem to come out of nowhere. Isn't that what happened in the 90s? We didn't see Biggie's growth. We didn't see Biggie's growth until after he died, and they start telling us all of this. We didn't see his growth. He just popped up on the scene with Juicy, and boom, he blew up. Like, we didn't see all the work Diddy had put in until the man died, and we were celebrating him. But what y'all say, Biggie is an industry plant because we didn't see his growth. And I know what y'all are going to say. Well, we didn't have the social media back then, and artists, we didn't have all this access to the artists that we do. Yes, this is true, but And my way of thinking, and it may be an old way of thinking about the music industry, that's what the industry is supposed to do. That's what a label is supposed to do. Sign someone and mold them to be this star and hope that what they molded becomes a star, and then put them out there. And these people blow up and they reap their benefit. The artist gets whatever scraps are thrown to them from the label off their record sales and however much of their music that they own, which is probably zilch, sitch, nada. But that's how I always looked at the industry. You get signed to artists, they do label, they do artist development, and they mold you into being this star. Now, granted, I do believe stars are born. I do believe some people just have it. Whatever that it factor is, I do believe some people just have it, and it's just in them. Some people, you mold it and create it and hope that it pans out, like Tinashe. That's what I think they do with Tinashe. They just keep trying and keep pushing it and hoping that she becomes what they want her to become. It doesn't always pan out, but to me, that's what I think artists are like industry plants. People say Chance is an industry plant, but we kind of saw Chance's growth. We saw him get the cosign from Fake Shore Drive. At the end of the blog era, we listened to 10 Day. We heard Acid Rap. We knew he was doing these open mics in Chicago and was really building his buzz in Chicago and was running around with the Save Money crew with Vic Mensa and all of them. And boom, he blew up. Now, I don't think any of us anticipated that he would blow up to what he is. Today, But it happens. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens like that. Sometimes it doesn't. But I just don't necessarily think he is a plant. I'm sure my co-host will be on the devil's advocate side and explain why he feels Chance is a plant. But that's just an example. I just don't believe industry plants are a thing. I think it's something that the internet created just to kind of hate on an artist when an artist that they don't really care for has grown too big in their eyes. Like Lizzo. That's all I've heard about Lizzo. She's a plant. She's a plant. She's a plant. She's very industry plantish. Well, how is she a plant? Because the songs that are taking her very far are from my album 2 years ago that y'all didn't care about?
I don't think Lizzo's an industry plant. I don't think so. Yeah, matter of fact, I know she's not.
Now all of a sudden people care about the songs. Like that's the industry, man. That's the game, man. Like sometimes a song from 2 years ago, it takes off. Sometimes an album from 2 years, it takes off.
True.
And then the Grammy Award says, oh, well, you know, we'll let that in. We'll allow that for this year's Grammy. And they let Chance do it with a mixtape. So why she can't do it with an album from 2 years ago?
She was signed to the same label then, too. So,
thank you. She was still on Atlantic. So that's just my unpopular opinion. Industry plants don't exist.
Well, yeah, I got to play devil's advocate on this one. So I will be fair. I don't think Chance is one, because you're right. Chance's ascension was well documented through blog sites like Fake Shore Drive and Save Money Crew, all that. So yeah, it's just funny to just call him that one because it's
funny.
More of a running joke at this point. Like even Donald Glover made fun of it on Atlanta with that, you know, Chance.
Cam County, what was his name?
Cam Can, I think so.
Cam County or something like that.
Yeah. So that, but I honestly don't believe Chance is an actual industry plant. Now, to me, the definition of an industry plant is somebody who, not so much just came out of nowhere, but somebody who had all the opportunities and influence and like connections to automatically become a star in like a short, very, very short amount of time. There's no documentation of their ascension. And I'm not saying that everybody's rise has to be documented, but there's like, you hear about it and say, oh, well, this time last week I was working at McDonald's and now I have a platinum selling single. They're signed to a label. You look beneath the curtain, they have a relative that works at a label. It's like a huge industry, like somebody been in industry a while. They have all this money. Those to me are industry plants. Somebody who a label, like Bad Baby is an industry plant because Bad Baby literally went from being a viral sensation because she was on Dr. Phil to a label, because I've read the story with her. So a manager at a label, a guy worked at a label, he saw the clip on Dr. Phil and said, man.
I watched that episode too.
If somebody can find this girl and put lyrics to words, we can make some money. So they literally took her, said, hey, we're going to give you this songwriter who, a rapper who is a black woman who writes her music, put you in the studio with her, write this music and put the songs out. And now you have the career of Bad Baby. To me, that is an industry plant. Somebody who just, all they have to do is just tell the right person, like, hey, I want to do music. Or the right person came to him and say, hey, you should do music. And next thing you know, they're blowing up.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah, I say he's an industry plant. He'll say he's one himself. So
he trolls too, so.
He also used to run a Nicki Minaj fan account where he was extremely toxic, apparently, so.
I did hear about that.
So, I mean, it's not a surprise. But yeah, industry plants exist. They're not as rampant as people think. Just like I was watching an interview with Bill Hader, and they asked him, like, how did the show Bear come to fruition?
Yeah.
He said he was talking to his writing partner, and he said, hey, man, we should do a show about Hitman. And his writing partner said, Hitman is one of those things where the more of them exist on TV than do in real life. That's kind of like industry plants. More industry plants exist in people's minds than actually, in my opinion, exist in the music industry.
But that's why I say I think industry plant is just something that the internet cooked up to tag to rappers that they just tag to artists that they just don't like.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I said some weeks ago, it's cool now on the internet just to hate Lizzo. Granted, I agree. Lizzo does way too much at times. Like, she does a lot. Like, she's just, like, really extra. But whenever she garners some type of success, it's a group of people right there ready to hate on her. And it's just like, fam, just let the woman live, bro.
I don't
bro.
Get that either.
Like, just let the woman live. Like,
I really don't like Lizzo hate. I don't understand. Like, it's just weird. Like, I let Lady Gaga rock for years.
Man, that's my thing. Y'all let Lady Gaga walk down the red carpet
in a
meat dress. Like, and y'all was, oh my God, she's so artistic.
Whatever, man.
It's meat, fam. She walking around with a dead cow on her.
Whatever, man. Who cares? Whatever.
But that's I do agree. They exist, but not in the capacity that the internet believes they exist.
Probably, and it's probably people you wouldn't even suspect. Like, the ones you think are industry plants probably are, and the ones you think aren't are.
And now it is that time of the night where we all become a little wiser by getting some wisdom imparted on us by Mr. Jones. Here is Confucius Says.
My Confucius Says this week is about consistency. Consistency is one of those things where people underestimate it when they shouldn't. And consistency is one of those things that will help you lead to the life that you want. So, once again, me and Fresh consistently talk about the things we're trying to do for the city in terms of hip-hop, R&B, and just all around urban music. We talk about what the city needs to do to help support urban music more. We talk about the things we would like to see done. Fresh is themselves on the task force where they talk about where to divvy up the money that the city makes off music and, you know, where it should go and make sure it goes to the right places. Because the city loves to talk about cultural. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Relevancy.
Relevancy, there you go. And just being so diverse, but when it comes to that money's looking awfully white.
Like an HBCU out here.
For real. And so, one thing I feel like consistency is important about is because consistency will break necks. When you go to somebody, if I was to go to Fresh's apartment, right, one day, and he's there, let's say he's in his room sleep, and I knock on the door twice, and he doesn't answer, do I look around and say, you know what, maybe I just walk off, he's just not here. Or do I just bang on the door for 20 minutes until he wakes up.
So that might really happen.
Now, granted, if I bang on that door for 20 minutes, he's going to wake up pissed off. But, I mean, I was clearly determined to make sure he answered that door because I need to talk to him about something, whatever. That is what us in the urban scene have to continue to do. We have to be consistently knocking on that door. I know there's a lot of roadblocks. I know there's a lot of things that happen that we are not happy with, financially, support-wise, show-wise, whatever it is. But we are having, we're bringing artist after artist after artist in, and they all say the same thing. This is one of the best times we ever had for the urban scene in Austin. So all we have to do is go into 2020 with that same mentality and do and just keep it going. Be consistent. Putting out more content. Putting out more music. Doing more shows. Traveling. Doing everything we can. This city knows how powerful the music that we make is. They know how powerful R&B is. They know how powerful hip-hop is. When y'all go in here complaining about to these people about what needs to be done, they already know that. Most of these people saw the rise of Score More. Most of these people saw the rise of C3. Most of these people have seen all these artists come through here and start taking rap artists taking over ACL and South By. So they know there's money in it. What we have to continually do show them is why we're worth that money. Now, granted, I know right now it's like, well, we're worth it now. Yeah, you're right. And I thought I should be playing in the NBA by 15, at 15. But I wasn't ready at that time. And that's not to say a lot of people out in the city aren't ready, because there's a lot of people that we play all the time. Jakes, the Lonnies, the J Soldiers, the Titas, the Harrys, that we feel are ready for the national spotlight. But sometimes you have to convince other people that you're ready for that position. And this city runs off money. You think all these buildings pop up out of here because people like looking at buildings? You think all the gentrification is happening because people just like moving into neighborhoods that they never would have went into 10 years ago? It's because of money. This city likes money. So the more and more we show them that we can make money, not just for you, but for ourselves, because we've been doing it, eventually us banging on that door with our consistency will open up that door that we've been so long wanting to get into. And also, like Fresh said off mic just a minute ago, Either you get down or lay down anyway. Either you open that door or we just kick it in. So we're trying to knock and be nice because, it's, trust me, we're not going away. And the, you know, for the longest time, y'all have gotten away with us little pity-pat, the little pity-pat knocks. But at some point in time, it's going to be some banging. And that's my Confucius Says. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/TheBreaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.